gentlemen, welcome aboard. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you listened into the program last evening, folks, you could see that I was a little bit rattled, and it takes a lot to rattle me, really, when it comes right down to it. And, of course, the cause of my concern was having learned earlier yesterday that a gentleman by the name of Richard Thompson, a former U.S. naval officer and intelligence operative who had inside information about the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, an attack that was obviously carried out with the collaboration of traitors within the United States government in something known as Operation Cyanide. Well, Mr. Thompson, after having spoken at the USS Liberty Survivors Conference, the reunion they held here in the Washington, D.C. area, Mr. Thompson died in a one-car automobile accident on his return home to Florida. Mr. Thompson was the key source behind much of the information that appeared in a BBC documentary called USS Liberty Dead in the Water, a documentary that American Free Press has been distributing, and which, as you heard USS Liberty survivor Gary Brummett say on this program, that he highly recommends to people. And, of course, Mr. Thompson was also the key source behind a follow-up book called Operation Cyanide, written by a journalist by the name of Richard Hounam. That's H-O-U-N-A-M, a book that basically was more or less a published version of the documentary in many respects. And Mr. Thompson had also been connected with Mark Glenn of CrescentandCross.com and now a correspondent for American Free Press, and they had been preparing to work together in bringing out some of the details about Operation Cyanide that have not yet publicly been revealed. So, needless to say, the death of Richard Thompson is quite convenient for those who want to keep the facts about the Israeli attack on USS Liberty continually and perpetually kept covered up. It's a real tragedy, whatever the cause of that accident. I don't know any more details on it as of this point, any more than I spoke with you last night about this, but we are going to be joined momentarily here by Mark Glenn himself. Mark is back at home, having been here in the Washington, D.C. area, meeting with the USS Liberty survivors in person and with other individuals who attended that meeting in the Washington area, including, of course, Richard Thompson himself. So this is going to be a very interesting show tonight, folks, and we'll give you a chance to call in later here in the hour. The number, of course, is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. It's very interesting. I've talked to a number of friends of mine who are basically apolitical, you know, who know about the attack on USS Liberty, you know, who've heard about it, maybe in conversations with me or elsewhere. And when I've told them about the death of Richard Thompson, their immediate reaction is that it was probably murder. Now, unless we find out otherwise, we're just going to have to operate on the premise that it was indeed a very carefully calculated and concocted and orchestrated crime, rather than just an accident, because, while there are coincidences in the story of the USS Liberty, which involved the murder of 34 Americans and the brutalizing of 174 others, in the case of the USS Liberty, there has been a lot of conspiracy.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said a penny saved is a penny earned. by doing nothing more than you're doing right now because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. We do have Mark Glenn aboard with us. I think my introduction that I gave here tonight is sufficient for our purposes in the meantime, but I do urge you to check out Mark's own website at CrescentandCross.com. Mark, welcome aboard. Yeah, Mark, before we've got quite a few callers here who are eager to talk to you, but I think before we go into the discussion of the death of Richard Thompson, I think we ought to clear the air. I was told, and I checked it out myself, that hardly had I gone off the air last night announcing in what was probably a world exclusive the death of Richard Thompson under these circumstances. It's my understanding that hardly had I gone off the air than Daryl Bradford Smith, Eric Huffschmidt, and Christopher Boleyn posted a story suggesting that you were somehow involved, that you, Mark Glenn, were somehow involved or implicated in the murder, and what it does appear to be murder, at least at this point it does. We don't know yet. Maybe you have some information to tell us otherwise. But the gruesome threesome have said that suggested you were responsible in some way or part of the plot to kill Richard Thompson. So I'm going to ask you on the air, Mark Glenn, were you involved in a plot to kill Richard Thompson?
No. Does that suffice?
Okay, that answer is good enough for me. I suspect that there's probably a lot of people out there listening
I'm sorry to laugh like that, Mike, but you'll remember that yesterday you and Chris and I were sitting around we were jokingly saying, I wonder how the gruesome threesome are going to react to this, and we jokingly suggested, oh, well, of course, they're just going to suggest that I poisoned his drink and it caused him to die or whatever, and we laughed at this because it was so far out there that we said that even these three couldn't come up with that one, but obviously we were wrong.
Yeah, I noticed that that Queen Esther Hufschmidt actually mentioned that you have been writing what he called Zionist propaganda for American Free Press. I guess that Zionist propaganda includes helping the survivors of the USS Liberty bring out the truth about what happened. So,
Yeah,
I said on the show last night that anyone who continues to believe anything that these three say really need their head examined. But
like I was saying to you today, at this point now, and we do need to move on because we've wasted enough time with these guys. But at this point, they are so out of it that you stand a better chance of getting the truth about what is going on in our world if you were to listen to the likes of Alan Dershowitz rather than these three.
Absolutely, absolutely. At least you know from Alan Dershowitz where he's coming from. He's a hardline lunatic Zionist fanatic. But with these other three, are just psychopathic liars who are doing everything they can to undermine good people who are trying to bring the truth out. Well, Mark, I haven't talked to you about the circumstances of Richard Thompson's death, actually, since we last spoke. So what can you tell us, if anything, about the specifics of what did happen?
Well, first of all, I think that we, for the sake of paying respect to doing what we do, which is we're supposed to be out there investigating the truth, we have to acknowledge that there's no evidence suggesting that he was murdered. And there's no evidence suggesting that he was not murdered. We just don't know, okay? I do know, though, from having spoken with Dick on many occasions, that, he warned me up front when I began dealing with him. His words were to the effect, listen, son, you need to sit down and give careful thought to whether or not you want to pursue this with me because the information that I am going to be imparting you is dangerous. And he related to me a personal instance on his part where he had two what he called Jewish men driving a car bearing New York license plates that were following him around in his hometown of Florida. He made a phone call to the local police chief, who was a good friend of his, and the police chief came up on these guys with three cars. Cuffed them, put them in the back of a cruiser, took them to the airport, told them to leave and never to come to Florida again. So, it's not as if the idea that something untoward happened to Dick is something that is out of the question. I mean, the Zionists have killed or tried to kill people who were less troublesome than Dick was, okay? And given the fact that as you and I were saying this weekend, Mike, the Liberty survivors during the course of the last 30 years almost that they have been telling their story, because for the first decade they really were very silent. For the last 30 years, they basically have told everything that they have been able to bring to the table, okay? And that's
everything that they personally experienced.
Exactly, that they personally experienced. And this is one of the things that Dick told me. He said, listen, you have to get past what happened that day with respect to the Liberty itself. It was only the first domino, and there were many larger dominoes that were supposed to follow it. And those larger dominoes have come to compass this thing that we call Operation Cyanide. So with respect to your question, Mike, as to what we know, out of respect for the Liberty members who are just all I can say is that they are devastated at the loss of their very good friend. I did make a couple of phone calls today. They were not returned. Yesterday when I spoke with Gary Brummett, who is the president of the Liberty Association, he couldn't speak. All he could really do was to inform me of this terrible tragedy that had taken place.
When you say he couldn't speak, you mean that he was just so physically and emotionally racked
exactly.
by the devastation. It wasn't like somebody was holding a gun to his head and that he was unable to speak. It was because he was so horrified at what happened that he just was unable to speak.
Yes, you have to understand that the Liberty Veterans Association, not only has Dick provided the psychological support for them these years, he also has devoted a great deal of time and, from what I understand, a great deal of money as well. You know, he, from what I understand, and I could be wrong, he is the one who has helped in getting copies of the DVD Dead in the Water distributed, and Operation Cyanide, the book written by Peter Hunnam. You know, he was, from what I understand, he contributed a great deal to that. So,
unless I'm not mistaken, I think he was a primary financial backer of the actual video production. I could be wrong about that, but that's my memory of the matter.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. So, and not only that, Dick Thompson was just, he was the kind of guy where 30 seconds after you spoke with him, you knew that you were dealing with a good human being. You know, I was supposed to go down there as his guest last month and stay at his house and do an extensive interview with him over this business known as Operation Cyanide. I was not able to do it because Dick was not feeling well. And that is something we have to keep in mind, is that Dick has not been feeling well lately. He certainly did not show this at the reunion. He's 76 years old, but he has the energy of somebody half his age. But I don't know him. I didn't know him well enough to tell whether or not he wasn't feeling well.
I can echo your words by quoting Ann Cronin of American Free Press. She's known him for several years. When he approached her, and he came to our former American Free Press convention, and unfortunately I didn't meet him, but she said he was a very lovely human being, a very dynamic individual, very down to earth, and he came across as being considerably younger than his years.
Exactly.
So that having been put on the record. Now, Mark, we have the break coming up here, but in the time we have, if you could tell us exactly what you do know about the circumstances of the accident itself, if anything.
Okay. In the circumstances, as they have been relayed to me, is that he was driving along. He did not tap his brakes or anything like that. He merely swerved into a guardrail, swerved back into the median and crashed into a tree, and he was dead. He was dead at the scene. That's
okay. Now
all
he,
I know.
You say he went into a guardrail,
off to the right.
Okay.
And then swerved back left, crossed into the median, and crashed into a tree, and that's all I know at this point.
Okay. So it's conceivable that he regained control of the car after hitting the guardrail, and then went into a tree. Was this on a superhighway or on a back road? Do you know any of the details of that?
Well, I understand it was just on a regular interstate highway.
It was an interstate highway. Okay. All right, we are going to the break here, Mark. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this aspect of it, and then we'll start with some phone calls. I know there are people eager to talk about this, so stay tuned, folks. We have Mark Glenn here. About as first-hand a report as you're going to get on this very disturbing subject.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here with Mark Glenn, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Okay, Mark, we have established then that he was traveling alone. Richard Thompson was traveling alone by himself on the way back to Florida, driving through South Carolina on a superhighway. He apparently swerved without hitting his brakes. He swerved and hit a guardrail. Then the car bounced back onto the highway, but then ended up slamming into a tree, and he was dead on the scene. Mm-hmm. So that's where it stands. I imagine there's probably going to be an autopsy if there hasn't been one as of this point. But as I noted last night, Mark, you know, there are many, many ways to cause people to have accidents. They don't even have to necessarily put something in your suit. So we're probably never going to be certain one way or the other what exactly did happen there, but it did happen. Is that a good assessment of the situation?
Yes, and the thing is, obviously, given the business that we are in and the people that we are dealing with here, I mean, we have to assume that at least the worst is possible because they do this on a regular basis. And the fact of the matter is that Dick Thompson, he was not some nobody. He knew where a lot of the bodies were buried, so to speak. And, you know, in this few short months that I've known him, he has told me things about things that he has been involved in throughout his life, and he would never disclose to me what kind of intelligence agency he worked for. But he was the kind of guy who would get a call in the middle of the night and say, pack a bag, you're headed to X and X city in an hour to meet with somebody, and he would do it. So he had intimate knowledge, intimate knowledge of what took place with regards to this thing known as Operation Sinai, information that was sensitive enough that he would not discuss it with me over the phone. Now, this was one of the things, as I said, that he made clear to me when he and I began talking. He said, you need to make sure you understand the gravity of the circumstance that you're involving yourself in, because this information could be dangerous to your health. And, you know, when I spoke with him at the reunion, we sat down in an out-of-the-way place where we had some privacy and some quiet. And he looked at me. He had striking blue eyes, the kind of eyes you just can't peel your vision away from. And he looked at me, and he, before we had gotten down to even any niceties, he said, take out a pen and paper and jot these names down. And so he started dictating names to people that he wanted me to contact. He said, these people are all expecting to hear from you. And gave me just a brief rundown of who these individuals were. Obviously, these are individuals who have knowledge of this thing known as Operation Sinai. And at the end of this, he reached across the table and he grabbed both of my forearms and he said, listen to me, son. He said, he lifted his hand and he put his thumb and his forefinger together so that they were, you know, only a hair's width apart from each other. He said, our chance of getting through this may only be this slim. And then he pointed out the window and he said, you see all of this out here, this could be gone in an instant. And he was referring to the fact that this thing coming up with Iran, that, you know, with the Zionists, that they are perfectly prepared and perfectly willing to detonate a nuclear weapon inside an American city and that would result in the loss of millions of lives. And he was deadly serious about it. And the last thing he said to me is, I don't want any money. He said, I just want to get this book out. I want people to know what happened and how close we came to World War III with the sinking of the USS Liberty. And the last thing he said to me is, you know, we are counting on you, so don't let us down. And that was it.
Very disturbing, very sad, very profound in a lot of ways here, Mark. Okay, well, God, that's very, very disturbing. All right, well, I'll tell you what, we are coming towards the break here, but I'm going to go ahead and bring up our first caller, and we'll hold him on over the break. We've got Jeff from Vermont. Jeff, come on up.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Jeff.
My condolences to your friend. It's what a tragedy. That's just too bad. That guy was a truth seeker, and it seems like he was doing the right thing and pushing the envelope and, you know, just, you know, it just seems sad that, you know, something like this would happen. It just kind of blows my mind. It really does. I didn't read that much. I didn't know about him. But if you guys say, you know, I mean, what he did is the truth, and it's just hard to imagine. It just really is. And I just wanted to say my condolences to him. And it seems to me with, you know, with the Levon affair and, you know, the USS Liberty and the King David Hotel and, you know, everything. And
It's pretty rotten. Well, Jeff, if you want to stay on for the break, if you have any further comments, please feel free to do so.
Yeah.
We are going to the break here, folks. This is Michael Collins Piper with Mark Glenn talking about what can only be described as a strange and unexpected death of Richard Thompson.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
All right, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Got Mark Glenn on the line talking, well, about the USS Liberty, but more specifically about the death of someone who had knowledge about the attack on the USS Liberty that has never been revealed before. But as Mark pointed out, one of Richard Thompson's legacies is that, in fact, he was able to impart to Mark Glenn some names of people, other people who are very much alive, who are able to fill in some of the holes that that Mr. Thompson was unable to discuss in detail at that particular moment. So I guess we just have to proceed from there. All right, Jeff from Vermont, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Jeff, go ahead. You had another comment.
Yeah, I was wondering. I have a question. He has a website called Crescent and Cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would want to know Mark's opinion on Louis Farrakhan. I've been doing some research on him lately, and He has a different point of view on religion and everything, like, than I'm not Islam, but he's got the same concept of Jewish supremacy that, you know, and what, you know, he calls them the Johnny-come-lately Jews, the European Jews, who aren't even Semitic, you know, calling everybody anti-Semitic when they're not even Semitic, and who came to Palestine and just European white people, just like, you know, people that came to America, but they just happen to want to settle in Palestine instead of, you know, settling in America. And he puts it out on the table, and he's very clear, and he goes into detail, like, these New York City, these European Jewish people that came to America, who's calling everybody Semitic, they're not even Semitic. And he goes into detail where he goes, the real Semitic Jews are the Jews living in Iran and in Tehran, and the Semitic Jews that lived in, you know, Oman and Saudi Arabia and in Iraq and even Palestine. These people coming from Israel that's calling everybody Semitic, anti-Semitic, aren't even Semitic, you know. And he goes, it's just like this guy, you know, I mean, is on the same page as, you know, a lot of good blue-blooded Americans should be on the page of, you know. It's kind of
now,
weird.
Mark, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I agree with him. Now, I know that, you know, the whole Nation of Islam thing has something of a troubled past, particularly when, you know, Elijah Muhammad was running things. But I think that in general, based on what I have been able to see, the Nation of Islam has been a positive force for a lot of inner-city blacks who otherwise would have fallen into the typical, at least statistically typical, lifestyle of the ghetto, which means drugs and violence and whatnot. And so, you know, I think that in general it has been a good thing. I'm not saying that Farrakhan is a savior or a hero or anything else, but in general, you know, I have dealt with blacks who have converted to Islam. And these are very serious-minded people who try to, you know, they don't want to grow up in the ghetto. And so I think that even if it's only by accident, I think that the Nation of Islam has done some good things. Now, don't read into that I'm saying that it's incapable of doing anything good on its own. I'm not saying that. It's just that I'm trying to avoid setting off any kind of brush fires here, because I know there are going to be people who are going to say, well, what about when they did this, and what about when they did that? But I think in general, at least in America, Islam has been a force for good for the black community.
I would just add to that, on a couple of occasions, I had the privilege of actually being a VIP guest at several of Louis Farrakhan's meetings here in Washington, D.C., and I was like one of about five white people at one of the gatherings with about 5,000 people. And I want to tell you something, you can't find a better, finer group of people than the members of the Nation of Islam. So,
yeah, I think in general, Mike and Jeff, you know, the thing is, when you look, it's funny because I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday when I was still in D.C. as we were walking through the streets, and when we were looking at the blacks, how some of the blacks are living, and, you know, contrast this with blacks from Africa that I've met, from Nigeria or from Ethiopia or Eritrea, and they're two completely different creatures. And one of the factors that differentiates these two people is the fact that the blacks in America, they have been deliberately turned into this lifestyle deliberately by these Zionist Jews who want to use the blacks as a battering ram against white Christian society. When you look at the drugs, you look at the rap music, the violence, and all the rest of that, all of these roads lead back to the synagogue, unfortunately. And obviously, at least politically speaking, it has paid off very well in terms of dividing our society and, in general, preventing us from achieving any unity in this country.
All right. Very good. Jeff, I got to move on here, but okay. I appreciate your call. Good question there about Farrakhan.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Gene in Texas. Gene, come on up.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
Hello?
Gene, are you there? I believe
there's another fatal accident over in Paris, a world away. The Kiel Princess died, her boyfriend, Dodi Fayed, and the driver. And they said that was just an accident also. And, of course, I'm not saying there's a connection, of course, between Mr. Thompson's death and that. But it seems like the people that want to do away with people use this method of, causing an accident. I would like to know if Mr. Thompson's car had any other paint on it, or any other dents, maybe. I hope this comes out, other than the guardrail, which definitely caused a dent, and the tree, of course. But I hope they do investigate that car he was driving.
Hey, Gene and Mark, let me tell you something. Just before I came on the air, I got a call from Alex Jones. And he's interested in having Mark, and actually asked for me to come on his program, but I suggested strongly that Mark be the guest. He wants both of us to come on and discuss this tragedy. And Alex pointed out that evidently our friends in Israel have the technology. There's some sort of technology they have to cause people to have automobile accidents. And oddly enough, Alex said to me, it's Princess Di all over again.
How about that?
Yeah, so it's very interesting you call in on that, Gene, because let's just put it this way. You know, there's all sorts of ways to cause people to have car accidents. I could tell a story here on the air, but I won't, about what happened to a friend of mine who took on the Freemasons. And needless to say, I know this guy very well, and there was deliberate alteration of his vehicle that nearly caused him to have a fatal accident. So the technology is there. I don't think anybody, you know, only people who reject quote unquote conspiracy theories would go so far as to deny that you can cause someone to have a fatal accident.
Husbands, well, of course they know there's a fiat involved.
Wives all the time.
Well, they know there was a fiat involved in Princess Di's death, and it's very mysterious to me why the fiat didn't stop and render aid. Apparently the fiat just kept on going, which is very unlikely for just a regular accident. Normally you would stop and render aid if you hit somebody else's car accidentally. Number two, though, forensics should be able to determine if Mr. Thompson's car was hit by somebody else's car, unless that's going to be covered up.
Well, you know, I don't mean to interrupt here, Mark, but I just wanted to comment. You know, I tell you, if I wanted to come down to Texas, Gene, and cause some havoc for you, I could probably just wait on the corner with a nice big mirror and catch the sun and make it glare in your eyes and cause you to lose control of your car. So,
yeah.
So anything is possible. We got to face that fact.
I just wonder why Mr. Thompson was driving back by himself at 76 years old and being ill previously.
Well, I can't answer that, other than to say that, you know, he does travel a lot, and he's very independent-minded. He doesn't like people taking care of him. You would understand that if you actually got a chance to sit down and speak with him. I mean, this man is, I remember thinking to myself, I hope that I have this kind of energy and this kind of exuberance when I get to this man's age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like I say, we're probably really never going to know.
Well, I just say it was a convenient tragedy for certain people, probably.
I'm afraid you're right about that one, Gene. All right, well, I got to move on here. Let's go to Edward in Ohio. Edward, come on up.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
How you doing tonight?
Okay, I actually called about Mr. Bugliosi in his new book, but I can change the subject to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
here.
I'd rather, yeah, if you would.
That's fine.
Please feel free to call in and talk about that any other time, but go ahead, Edward.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's fine. I do have something pertinent, and actually it hits both, you know, both subjects. May I quote three verses from the Bible?
Go ahead.
Okay, now I'm going to just kind of give you a little hint here. The light that's being talked about here, I believe, primarily is Jesus Christ, but I think it can also be applied to the light of truth. I think when people have the light of truth, those that work in darkness desire to put that light out so they can continue in their evil deeds. This is from John chapter 3, and Jesus said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And maybe some other time we could talk about Christopher Boleyn, too. I sense that there's been a rift that happened between you and him, because at one time I won't get into that, because we are talking about that one particular subject, but maybe some other time we can talk about these other subjects. And thanks for allowing me to quote those scriptures.
All right, Edward, appreciate it. Yeah, call back some other time. We'll talk about Bully Posty. There's more, much more to be said about him, I can assure you. Okay, well, we have, I hate to tell you, folks, we have Jim in Texas.
Hello.
Jim.
Yes. Hello, Mark.
How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm pretty good tonight, but
you're
I'd
alive.
Like to, I like to hear yeah, I'm alive. And despite the satellites, spy satellites circling my house, I'm still alive. And I could be the next case of a guy driving down the road and all of a sudden run off.
You never know, Jim. I may wind up, you may wind up having some unfortunate accident happen to you tonight, and I'll be the one responsible for it.
No, you won't be responsible. I'm responsible because of my own big mouth. But I'd like to change the subject slightly because I heard from pretty good authority from Daryl Bradford Smith, which what better authority could anyone have? He's a country gentleman in France, sipping the fine vin there in the French countryside with his French wife. I assume she's French. But anyhow, I have from pretty good authority that he's described both you gentlemen, and Mark, you can translate this, as you are both fünf Viertel Jüdisch. So,
say that again, Jim.
You got it? Well, you can translate it for Mike, because I don't know if Mike knows any German, but it translates to five-fourths Jewish. Which is a saying that a German friend of mine in 1959 taught me, okay? He taught me this in 1959 because this is a guy that I'm walking down the street with, half drunk, of course, in the army, in the middle of the night with very little street lights, and this guy comes by and he said, "Er ist Jüdisch," which is he's Jewish. And I'm thinking, how in the hell did he know that? But you know, so I talked to him quite a bit about it, and he taught me it's an old German saying that the only Germans say among themselves, "Ich bin fünf Viertel Jüdisch," which I'm five-fourths Jewish, which describes our Congress and our executive branch and everybody else, because that's exactly what they are.
You know, I'll tell you, my only comment on that is that my very anti-Jewish Roman Catholic grandfather, who is buried in a Catholic cemetery, is probably crawling out of his grave and getting ready to take a fast boat to France to strangle Daryl Bradford Smith, maybe drown him in a vat of that wine that he drinks far too much of.
Well, according
to
Daryl. He only because
I
listen to Daryl whenever I can. I check him up on the internet, and according to Daryl, he only drinks like once a month or every 6-8 weeks.
I will. I'll give me about 15-20 minutes.
Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry, guys. I missed what you were saying. I got a call on the other line from Gary Brummett from the USS Liberty, and he said,
"Oh well, that's more important than anything Mike or I have to say." So,
at least in my humble
opinion.
Well, anyway, Gary, he wished to convey that as of this moment, there's nothing to indicate that there's anything suspicious about this. So, the thing is, guys, I think, you know, in dealing with the Liberty guys, as I have been for the last couple of months, one of the things that I have learned about them is that they're very cautious about the kind of speculation that they engage in. And they have to be, because if they weren't cautious, the Liberty incident would have gone down to the bottom of the sea, meaning it would have just been washed in a bunch of conspiracy theories that they would have lost all credibility among anybody who would have been interested in it. And so, you know, out of respect for them, I'm not trying to win any applause here, but, you know, they asked me to speak at their banquet, and I kindly refused not to, and the reason that I refused not to is I said, listen, Gary, I said, you guys have attained a certain degree of credibility among what you're doing, and having me go up there and speak, given what I do and the things that I write, I don't want to be the cause of any, I don't want to give the other side any ammunition in bringing any kind of bad credibility upon your cause. And I said, I appreciate you asking me to do it. And if there were different circumstances, I would be perfectly willing to, but I'm not going to do anything that may jeopardize us getting the truth out about what happened. And so with that in mind, I think that all of us if we suspect that something suspicious happened with Dick Thompson, at this point at least, we need to kind of keep it to ourselves just so that we don't give the other side any ammunition to use.
Yeah, we need to. I mean, there's still presumably an autopsy coming up, and the autopsy could prove any number of things. You know, it could prove, hey, that he was poisoned, or it could prove he had a massive heart attack, or it could prove that his appendix burst. We don't know. We don't know.
But the one thing that we do know for sure is this. You know, this guy, meaning Mr. Thompson, you know, he was on the verge of cutting a big deal with American Free Press. We were going to begin publishing his book, Operation Cyanide. And according in his own words, he was about to divulge information to us not been published before. Now he is dead.
Okay,
fortunately,
Jim,
that's
listen,
all we know.
We're going to the break, Jim. Thanks for your call. We have one more caller we can bring up after the break. Byron from Canada, if you're still there, hang on. We'll bring you right up after the break. This is Michael Collins Piper, along with Mark Glenn, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour here. We have Mark Glenn. We've been talking generally about the USS Liberty and about the sad and certainly convenient or inconvenient death of Richard Thompson. You can look at it two ways, depending on what your perspective is. Okay, we have Byron from Canada. Byron, come on up.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say, you know, maybe a guy should, like Mark finally did say, that maybe a guy should hold off until, you know, maybe there is kind of an investigation. You know, there's such a thing as maybe crying wolf maybe a little too often, and I'm not saying one way or the other, but, you know, maybe a guy should wait. On this other Queen Esther, the one that you keep bringing up all the time, you know, I don't even know who the guy is, and probably, maybe if you didn't talk about him, nobody would even care about what he says.
Well, the problem in regard to that, Byron, is that this little creature has poisoned the well to the point that there are a lot of good people who actually believe, I don't care what they say about me, but they actually believe that Mark Glenn is a Zionist agent.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody that listens to him knows better than that. And if they
you would be surprised. You would be surprised.
What I want to bring up a little bit on the USS Liberty. Hey, and the other thing, hey, did you hear about here last week or a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, the British brought out that, I think it was that Entebbe?
Right. Mark was on the show and we talked about that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think it was on last week at some point.
I think I told you I farm and we've been out putting our crops and spraying and stuff, so I just kind of got some free time back to get listen to you again, so I might have missed it. But the other thing is that not right, what Mark was saying was that they were trying to start World War III by bringing Russia into it, into that sinking of the Liberty. Is that right, or am I missing something?
Yes, and interestingly enough, at the final event of the weekend, the Liberty Reunion, the keynote speaker was an individual who has worked in various intelligence agencies with the U.S. government. I've been instructed that I am not allowed to reveal his name. We were not allowed to record any of the things that he said in his speech. But he held, and I think he continues to hold, the highest classification, which is SCI, highest sensitive classification for seeing documents. And he saw all the documents related to the Liberty, and he confirmed that that there was this issue of World War III and the U.S. and Russia going to war with each other. And
So was it necessarily hitting Egypt with a nuclear weapon? It was between Russia and the United States?
He did not address hitting Egypt with a nuclear weapon. However, he made it quite clear that based upon the raw intelligence data that he has seen over the years, that Israel clearly knew that it was an American ship, that she intended to sink it, and that she planned on blaming this event on Egypt. The problem is oftentimes with dealing with individuals like him is that they will only deal in pure hard facts, and that was one of the things that he brought out in his speech. He says, I don't delve in conspiracy theories. I deal with hard facts. And so oftentimes they will hold off their what their gut tells them in favor of only standing on what they can say unequivocally. But I tend to sense that you know, based on what he said, that he, in reading between the lines, knows that there was something bigger afoot that day and that it did involve war between the United States and the Soviet Union.
You know, I think it should be pointed out that in this video, Dead in the Water, and in the book Operation Cyanide, that were interrelated and which Richard Thompson played a singular part in arranging both to be produced and published, I should say, is that they make it very, very clear that that one of the key players in this whole Operation Cyanide was James Angleton, the third-ranking official in the CIA. And James Angleton, of course, was very close to Israel's Mossad. And it appears as though Angleton was indeed one of the key players in positioning the Liberty where it was with the advanced knowledge of the Israelis so that they could attack it in the hope of sinking it and thus having no survivors able to come back and say who did it and therefore